Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with H.J. Chi. H.J. was born Ho Jin Chi in South Korea in 1953, the oldest son of a wealthy businessman. He remembers growing up as a wonderful time, until the day when everything changed, and his father became desperate to leave the family and run for his life.
I came to the United States in 1971.
Why did you come to the United States?
It wasn't my choice. My parents came to the United States previously before. My dad came to U.S. 1966. My mother came and with my sister, 1969.
And you stayed behind?
Yes. Me and my kid brother and also two other sisters stayed behind in Korea.
What was that like?
It was very tough. Yeah, especially my younger brother was at the time about 8 years old, and I was 14 when my dad left, and I was 16 when my mother left.
So explain a little bit the circumstances of why you had to stay and your family had to go.
My father was one of the very successful businessmen in South Korea. He had a largest travel agency business in South Korea. Representing most of the Far Eastern countries. In 1964, his business failed. That financial and political situations in Korea, my dad actually had to leave the country. He didn't have any choice. If he would have stayed in Korea, I don't think he would have survived. He would have lived, you know, in physical sense. So that left us as orphan, I would say, in Korea for a few years.
He was afraid for his life?
Right, right, yeah. And back in old days in Korea, you know, when you needed the finances to continue your businesses, obviously you go to traditional sources, which is like a bank or financial institutions. But after that, when that resources run out, then you have to rely on syndicates or back then they call it back alley monies, but when that was not be able to pay back, then obviously he was in danger of his life. He had to leave the country involuntarily. Yeah. So
how did you get by?
Barely. It was tough. Back in Korea, years mid-60s to late 60s, still were trying to recover from the many years of Japanese control during the World War II and also the 3.5 years of South Korean or North Korean conflict. Country was devastated. So we didn't have many resources or the economic areas to support ourselves. So country was pretty poor. Still, at the time, was developing third world countries. So the survival of myself and three young kids without parents and without regular income was really difficult. Yeah, it was basically day-to-day survival. Yeah, but with God's grace, we somehow lived and survived.
So how did you survive? You being the person who had to sort of take care of your siblings.
You had to be very resourceful. We lived with relatives' help. We also lived in a very large house that were when my parents were still in business. I guess they call it honor in Korean society, even if it's in the so-called Korean mafia or the, I would say, the secondary the sources. They did not kick the small children out of the that house that we lived in. They honored that. So at least we had a place to stay. We had a roof over our head. But the biggest problem was daily food and also the wintertime, especially the heating was the biggest problem because sometimes South Korea can get bitterly cold, as I guess a lot of American GIs learned during the Korean conflict. Yeah.
So how would you stay warm? How did you do that?
You know, most Korean houses at the time, the heating was pretty primitive. They used a lot of charcoals, wood, to burn as a heating sources. And obviously, we didn't have any money to go buy charcoals, which was readily available at public sources. So we go around and tear down the window sills and door frames and whatever is available around the house to survive during the those cold times. Sometimes we did not be able to heat the house, but we somehow managed. Yeah.
Where did you get food?
You know, remember my dad and mom was here in the United States, which they came previously before. So they tried to get the immigration status in the United States at the time. It was not that easy. They did whatever they could to send us sometimes money. They mailed us money orders or cashier's check. But sometimes when that was not available, mom and dad sent us small household appliances like blenders, mixers, toasters, and things like that, which they sent it to us down there. And what we did is that we received that and went out and sold it out in a Korean black market. With that, we had a substance that could be able to last us a few months until they sent us next one. So sometimes those came regularly, sometimes didn't. How we survived, I don't know. But, you know, there are many people out in the world, whether it's in Africa or Southeast Asia, or people somehow survive with a small amount of grains and food, which in America that we take for granted that all we need is go out to the city market or Safeway and buy food. That's not available in most of the third world countries. But people do survive.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories Program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher. And my guest today is H.J. Chi. H.J. was born Ho-Jin Chi in South Korea in 1953. What was your diet like? What sort of things did you eat?
The meat is luxury. Fish was pretty much available, very inexpensive, because the way we came, South Korea is a peninsula, was completely surrounded by the oceans. So fish was inexpensive, available. But mostly it's grain, rice, wheat, that kind of, you know, the basic substance.
So tell me again, how old were you and how old were your siblings that you were taking care of?
I was, when my mother left, I was 16. My younger, two other sisters were, they were 14 and 12. And my brother, who was youngest at the time, I believe he was 9.
That was quite a responsibility that you had.
Yeah, it was a very difficult time in my life, yeah.
What kept you going?
Probably will to live. Human beings are a very adaptable creature. Sometimes we, living in America with plentiful supplies and things that are available, we take for granted. If we don't have air conditioning, for example, if we don't have automobile, if we don't have TVs or good restaurants, and people complain about that. But a human being can be able to survive, you know, with a very, very basic sustenance.
How many years did you have to maintain before you were able to come to the United States?
We were separated from our dad for about 4 years, and we were separated from our mom for 2 years.
So you came to the United States when you were how old?
I was 18 and 2 months when I came to the United States with $8 in my pocket.
$8.
Right.
Talk about that day, the leaving day.
Well, it's kind of fog because for 4 years separated from my dad, and also 2 years that not being with our mother at teenage, tender years, it was kind of still, to me, it's like a dream back in those times. I remember packing just a few things in old metal suitcase, probably Korean War relic that we had in our attic. And I remember putting a few things, mostly the pictures and things, memorabilia that we had at home, that which we didn't sell.
You were able to save.
We had a few of those, and remember packing those things, and our family, friends, and relative took me and two sisters and brother to Gimpo Airport. I believe that was the only international airport that there was in back in Korea. That was 71. And I remember I said, that's a long way to go to America. First, we had to go to Japan, change a flight, and go to Hawaii. And from Hawaii, we had to clear the customs, go to America. And I said, you know, that's a long way to Los Angeles, where our mom and dad were waiting, and my sister. I had to write a small note and kept it in my pocket. The note said, where is a toilet? Actually, I wrote that in Korean so that I can be able to read, because I couldn't speak English back then. So I figured that if I had to go, or if I had to take my sister, brother to bathroom, we had to go. We couldn't go out in the public. So that was the only thing that was written. That was only English that I could be able to, you know, speak. Yeah, but it was so scary, and it was tough. I hold my sister and brother's hands. We showed our passport and immigration papers to clear the customs and immigrations in Gimpo Airport. We got in a flight. It was a short flight, about an hour, hour and a half to Tokyo. And when we landed in Tokyo, we got out, and we absolutely had no idea where to go how to get even clear the customs in Japan. You know what? People are very nice. Even though the international travel was not common back then in the 70s, people helped us. People helped us, took us to the right places at the right time, and we somehow got cleared. I have no idea how we did it, but got on the right plane, and we flew from Tokyo Haneda Airport to Honolulu. I remember landing in Honolulu. It was hot. It was hot and humid. I landed. We crossed the tarmac and went into immigrations. And one of the immigrations and customs officer was a second or third generation Korean. He helped us get through the customs. It's just a bunch of kids, you know, we're 18 and 16, 13, and 10, I believe my brother was, not, or 11 at the time. So they helped us get through the customs and the paperwork and all of that. And we had to wait a few hours to get on another flight to come to Los Angeles. We weren't really scared, because we didn't know anything better to get scared. I think we were just puzzled, I would say. That might be the right word. But we weren't, none of us were, I think, too frightened to be scared. I think that was the right situation at the time. Yeah.
Well, you'd already been through just about everything you could be through, so.
Yeah. So I guess life could throw another curve at us, and it didn't matter. I mean, we survived through the difficult times in Korean winters and without the right heat and food, and so it wasn't that scary.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with H.J. Chi. H.J. was born Ho-Jin Chi in South Korea in 1953 and came to the United States in 1971. Do you remember your impressions of America when you finally got to America? What do you remember of those first impressions, that first year?
First couple of weeks were fantastic. Because finally we got, you know, whole family got reunited. That we haven't seen in 4 years. Mom, we haven't seen in 2 years. And one of the sisters that we haven't seen in 2 years also. We finally got united. And we lived in a small two-bedroom house. Mom and dad and my brother, who was youngest at the time, slept in one room. All my three sisters lived in another bedroom. I slept on a couch. I remember the street is called Prospect Avenue. This was in Hollywood, California. First couple of weeks, a couple of months, I thought it was fantastic. First of all, there was plenty to eat for the first time in a few years. You see, when we were growing up, like I mentioned once before, my dad was a very successful businessman when I was very young, too, when I was 14, until my father's business collapsed. So we had obviously plenty to eat. We had maids at our house. We had even back then it was very difficult to have our own automobile, but we had our own automobile. We had a driver. We were one of the elite families. And when my dad's business failed and when he left, we were from riches to rags, so to speak, and lost everything. And so we suffered for a good 4.5 years of complete poverty. And when we came to the United States, I remember still the one thing that impressed me most was bananas.
Bananas.
Oh, my God. It was fantastic. It was so tasty, you know. It was delicious. It was great. And also oranges. You know, Southern California had a lot of oranges, which we didn't have or couldn't have in South Korea. So that was fantastic for a few months, I would say. And then reality hit. I couldn't speak English. I didn't know anyone. Strange country. All of a sudden, the welcome mat kind of wore out from mom and dad and my sister. And we were put it into the reality of now we're here. How are we going to survive? So first, I would say year was real difficult. I wanted to go back. I said, I want to go back to Korea. I want to be, I'd rather be in a poor country, living in a poor conditions, but at least I know how to deal with situations. And, you know, at least I knew how to get around. I could go somewhere. I could ask something, or I could, even if I go to a movie, you know, I could be able to understand what they're talking about. But here in the United States, not knowing the language and the customs, and it was very difficult.
So it was that feeling of alienation.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Even though that you'd come from poverty,
right?
It was more comfortable
because
you knew it.
Right. And so that was something that we all had to overcome. The other thing was also part of or some sort of discrimination, but we didn't even know what the discrimination was all about. We knew that we were different. We were Orientals, and obviously we lived in Korea where we all looked the same, we all spoke same language, and we all did the same, you know, a lot of same things. But here in the United States, everybody's different. You know, we see a lot of Caucasians, African Americans, Asian people. People were not the same. They weren't doing the same thing. They weren't eating the same food. So it was difficult to get used to. But same again, the instinct of survival kicked in. Some people I know who came to United States or any other countries, I know that some of them, they just can't get adjusted to it, and they go back to their own country. But somehow, with God's grace again, we pulled through.
What was it? What did you draw on to make it through that first year and to finally adjust and resolve to stay?
Well, going back was not an option. I remember a few months before I came to United States, when I was about 17 and a half years old, because of what I have gone through with the family situations and all of that, I was very rebellious. I was not doing the right things. And I remember that finally when my dad's and mom's immigration status was completed, and they knew that they were going to be able to send us the right documentation to come to the United States, I finally come to the realization before I came to U.S. and I said, you know, when I go to U.S., I have to buckle down. I have to go back to school. I have to learn the trade. I have to start doing the right things. Otherwise, I will not be successful as a human being. So I remember when I came to U.S. that I had to buckle down and I had to learn new things. That determination, I guess, it kept me going, even though it was difficult for the first year. And within, I would say, that first year, I began to learn how to speak. I began to learn how to drive. I enrolled myself into school, learned the trade, and I would say become Americanized. And I remember thinking at the time, I said, you know, I came from a totally different country. But now I'm going to live here. And I remember talking to myself that I know that I'm probably not going to go back to Korea. That means that I better learn how to be American. And at the time also I remember talking to myself that I will also become an American. And yeah, 1978 I became a naturalized citizen.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with H.J. Chi, born Ho Jin Chi in South Korea in 1953. What was the trade that you learned?
When I came to U.S., obviously I didn't know anything, and my mother happened to have a custom tailoring shops and gift shop in Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. I started out helping my mother, and she was at the time making some gift items and also doing some custom tailoring for some of the Hollywood B movie stars. Some of the actors and actresses came to the shops, and I remember seeing some of those people, recognizing those people in the movies, and helping her doing the custom clothing for them. And so that's the only trade that I knew. I guess I was gifted with a pencil and ruler in my hands, and I could be able to draft patterns, intricate patterns for the custom clothings. So I went to junior college in Los Angeles and learned how to do pattern making in clothing industry. That was beginning of my first career. I got a job at a company called, at the time, Workroom 27. A fellow that I was working for, his name, Bill Whitten, I believe it was his name. He was a very talented black designer. He was famous doing clothing, custom clothing for Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Bill Cosby, Commodores at the time, Smokey Robinson, I believe. I was his top pattern maker. I did that for a few years. And then I wanted to go into manufacturing business. So I went and worked for a company called Roland Shirt. It was owned by a Jewish Cuban guy named Ron Kosser, I believe his name. And it was very expensive, top-notch shirt company. That's where I gone into manufacturing, mass manufacturing area in downtown Los Angeles. From there, I moved on to owning our own company with a Jewish partner of mine, a company called Rich & Me, Inc. Don't ask me why name is called Rich & Me, but we manufactured ladies' clothing and children's clothing for Walmart, Kmart, JCPenney, Miller's Outpost, Gaps, and a few other big chain stores in the United States. And we purchased most of the raw materials from Orient, and we shipped that down to Mexico. Back then they used to call it 807 program or Maquiladora program, and we had a plant set up in Mexico, throughout all Mexico's, Mexico City, Guadalajara, Aguascalientes, Monterrey, a few of the big cities in Mexico. And we produced the goods down there and brought to the United States and shipped it to those big chain stores that I have mentioned earlier. Yeah, and did that for, oh, that company, we ran it for about 10 years until decided to quit in 1991.
When you were 16 and responsible for your brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. and alone in Korea, what was it that kept you going, that convinced you not to give up?
I think not knowing, being a stupid, I think that kept me going, because if you know too much, you know, I didn't know any better. And you handle the situations and circumstances day by day. And before you know it, month will pass and year will pass.
Do you remember a particular time when you didn't think you were going to make it? When you were...
Almost every day. Yeah, almost every day. Yeah.
Almost every day.
Yeah. But, you know, each day, sun comes up. Just as the sun sets each night, yeah. And the next day, there's another day, yeah.
That was Hojin Chi, known to his friends and his family as H.J. H.J. came to the United States in 1970. 5 years later, he and his wife Carmen were married. In 1992, they moved to Glenwood Springs, Colorado with their two sons, and they bought the Pit Stop Tire Shop and expanded it over the next 24 years, until H.J.'s sudden death in October of 2016. H.J. was a devoted father and husband. His desire was always to take care of people and leave things better than he found them. And he did that very thing. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. If you'd like to hear other stories, you can check us out online at immigrantstories.net. Stories can also be found at our site on Facebook or on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.